I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
All right, here we go. Are your hiccups done?
Oh, gosh. We're recording already. I might still have hiccups.
But I think you have to puff out your cheeks.
That's like a new thing for me. Usually I either like I suck in as much air as I can and hold it for as long as I can. And then if I don't hiccup while I'm doing that, I let it out so slowly and they're gone. But if I do hiccup while I'm doing that,
yeah,
then I let all my air out and continue holding with no air in me.
And that does it.
Yeah, so far, except this one time, it didn't didn't do it.
I have to take a deep breath and puff out my cheeks and like hold it for as long as I can, even if I hiccup in the middle of it. I just keep holding it, and that usually does it.
Well, you tricked me. I thought you had already hit record, so then I started laughing. And I
think that's what... not that mean. Oh, gosh, how are we doing?
Not great.
Not great. Physically.
Physically. Not including the hiccup.
Yeah, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I feel good.
Yeah, except that we went to CrossFit for the first time in like 3 years.
Yeah, so after my surgery, we did Pilates, like reformer Pilates. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was good for my core. I did CrossFit for a few years, like 100 years ago, and just like my body type, my personality, like I just want to pick up something heavy and then put it down over and over again.
Yeah.
Not like I'm not graceful. I'm not like, I want to do weightlifting and I want to be, well, joke's on me. I was like, I miss being sore. Anyway,
we're so sore.
It's today's Sunday. We did a CrossFit class on Friday night.
I can barely move.
I know. Every time I go to sit down, I just have to fall and hope that the structure I'm sitting on catches me.
Yeah. Like, I can't go up and down stairs. I was just saying, I'm so glad there's no stairs at my work.
For tomorrow.
It's all elevators.
But it's good. Like, that tells us we need to be doing this more.
Yes.
We signed up for a 2-week trial. And then, like, my hope is that we could commit to, like, 3 or 6 months and just, like,
yeah,
give it a go.
I thought you were going to say 3 or 6 days a week. I was like, what?
6 days a week. We will be competing in the CrossFit Games by this time next year.
No.
Anyway, so, but in better news, in good news, mm-hmm. I was just looking on Instagram
And I was like, oh, I forgot to post something about last week's episode. And then I got a notification that somebody liked an older reel of ours.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, we got to post more reels. But our ring light broke.
It did.
And so if we turn on the camera while recording, we look like a grainy 1957, like,
yeah,
bad movie. So, like, before a pixel was a pixel. So I ordered a ring light.
Yeah. Just now?
Yeah.
Great.
It's coming on Tuesday.
Oh, this is great news.
So,
yeah, we'll make some reels. What did we do all weekend?
It was my birthday weekend.
It was.
And can I say, number one, hire a magician for your birthday.
Yeah. Not like Magic Mike.
No.
I mean, if you want, if you're into that, that's
fine. You do you. But for some lady-loving lesbians here, it was my 42nd birthday, and I just, like, wanted to do something, but like I didn't want to go out, but I don't know. And so I just threw it out there. I was like, what if we got a magician? And I found
Malcolm Russell,
and he's British, Scottish,
yeah,
sort of intercontinental. But he was so good. So we had 11 friends and 6 dogs in our house, and we set up the living room like a little theater.
I saw those pictures that you took. Our living room looks really nice.
It does look really nice.
We've done a good job.
And this guy did a 1-hour, like I want to say magic show, but it was like a variety show.
Yeah, like, he was funny. Like, he did like a comedy sketch variety show with magic.
Yeah, like sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Magic. Not just like, he wasn't pulling kerchiefs out of his sleeve.
No, he got us to like rattle off words, and then they were written on like letters that were locked into envelopes. Yeah. Like, how did he do it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I was impressed. Like, he's obviously, this is his like career.
Yeah.
So he came up to me. So he had asked me to give 3 names of people that were going to be there, because he was going to like kind of use them. And so he had 3 people's names, but he didn't know what anybody looked like. So he got there a little bit early, and he pulled me aside, and he was like, can I just go over like what everybody's names are with you? And I was like, yeah, sure. So we went around the entire room.
Yeah, like, that's Lena, that's Francois.
Yeah.
That's...
And like, he paused between each one, and I know he must have been doing like some sort of like trick in his head, like making a rhyme or something.
Yeah.
Which is clever. Like, I meet a new employee and they're like, hi, I'm Kevin. And I'm like, was that Steve or Greg?
Oh gosh.
I'm the worst at it.
Yeah.
So, anyways, he was really good. It was fun.
It was very good.
Yeah.
That's why you and I have a little trick. If we're out in public and we run into somebody or we see someone and we don't introduce them to the other person, that's our cue that we don't know who they are. And it's the other person's job to be like, sorry, I'm her partner, Carling. Who are you?
Like, make me look bad that I didn't introduce you.
Yeah. And we've done that. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so rude. Yes. Of course, this is Kevin. Kevin, yeah. Lindsay, Kevin.
But really, you're extra rude because you didn't even remember Kevin's name.
Anyway,
okay.
Let's dive in. We are season 3, episode 19, titled
The Voice.
The Voice. This is The Voice.
Yeah, that show didn't exist on May 3rd, 1999 when this came out.
Yeah.
Okay, the custodian at Simon's school tells the reverend that he's been hearing the voice of God.
So I thought, and I might have just like presumed this, I thought we read something or talked about something in the last episode when we read this synopsis that he was schizophrenic.
No.
So I went into this this episode thinking like, okay, because he's hearing voices, he thinks he's God or he's talking to God, like it's going to come out that he's schizophrenic. Let's see how the Reverend handles mental health.
I would still consider this mental health, but I don't think it's schizophrenia.
Yeah, not in that way. So
should we just talk about that one?
Yeah, like just what I thought was funny is like an overarching theme. I thought it was funny, but like problematic, didn't age well, is like their theme around going crazy, losing it, seeing things that aren't there. Like every character had these.
Yeah.
Had these experiences where they were either not believing what they were seeing, or they kept using the term like, oh, I'm going crazy. I'm losing it. And I just think like, we know better now. And
yeah. So So, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because also Mary and Lucy were kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You're right.
I know.
I caught it with Ruthie and then like with Matt and then Simon and Eric. But okay.
And
Annie too.
And Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So everybody.
So everybody. Happy seemed fine. Totally with it. And
yeah, she had one scene.
Yeah. So, and the twins also seemed fine. They're still just babies.
Yeah. They're like 3 months old.
I don't know.
I would say.
So the episode opens. We meet Rudy, the custodian of the junior high school that Simon goes to.
Yeah.
And he wants to talk to the good Reverend Eric Camden.
He needs to know if he wants to know if there is a God. And how does Eric know that there's a God?
Yeah.
Because, and Eric's like, well, I feel his presence and I talk to him. And then Rudy's like, okay, right. But does he talk to you?
Like, do you hear audibly? Do you hear his voice?
And Eric was like, well, yeah, he does. And he's like, you audibly hear him talk to you. Like, that's a red flag.
Yeah. And he's like, because God told me to come and talk to you, Reverend. And Eric is sort of like, oh, okay, well. Okay, so then, and he's like, oh, I've been hanging out with your son, Simon, at school. And so Eric goes to Simon's room and wants to kind of talk to him about it. But Simon's like, yeah, like, Rudy's so great. I hang out with him sometimes at lunch because he seems lonely and he tells me stories about the war. And
yeah, he's got like old timey stories. Yeah. And
so Eric is sort of like, like, okay, interesting. Like, he's sort of taking it in.
Yeah. And then the phone rings.
Yeah.
And it's the vice principal of the school.
And
calling the reverend. Like, why, though?
I know. It's a public school. It's not a Christian school.
No. And, like, I guess everybody calls Eric, it seems.
Yeah. You have a friend in a gang. You have somebody wanting to jump off a building. Someone who cuts themselves.
Call Eric. So the vice principal says... he's like asks Eric to come for a meeting at the school at 9 a.m. the next day.
Yeah.
To talk about Rudy.
Yeah. This whole part, I don't know if anybody here is that listening works in HR, but like I don't work in HR, but I know that this wouldn't fly in today's world.
No. And I also, because they were mentioning that Rudy was getting a pension, that is really leaning towards me that he's probably part of a union and it really wouldn't fly.
Yeah. Like, so the principal is like, hey, so Rudy agreed to retire last year.
We had a conversation with him and he agreed to retire.
And
can't do that.
Yeah. And now he's saying he's not ready to retire, but he went and took all the money from petty cash and bought 25 pounds of shellac. I also learned today that I don't know how to spell shellac.
Me too.
How did you spell it?
Like that. Shellacking. Like shell and then lacking.
Shell lacking.
How did you spell it?
What did I write?
Oh, yeah. Just you did it, but just with one L.
I think I spelled she lacking.
She lacking.
Shellac. We got to look that up because I don't know if that's right. Anyway.
25. You said pounds. I think it was more like gallons.
Okay, sure. That makes more sense. Gallons of shellac. And he's like, we don't need shellac. And he's always messing up and he's always talking to himself. And, you know,
we can't have somebody in the basement talking, saying they're hearing God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's like, we have a town hall meeting on Monday or Friday. And, you know, we're going to offer him his pension one more time. And if he doesn't agree to retire, I'll have no choice but to fire him.
They're literally holding his pension over his head.
And saying that then he won't get his pension. And I'm just like, I just don't think it works like that.
No. Like,
I think like you put them on a performance improvement plan. Like, is there a mental health concern?
Like, I have some employees that should have retired by now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And they're well over retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't.
Yeah.
And I can't have a meeting with them where I say, you know what, Betty Sue, it's time to retire.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Like, I get in trouble for that.
Right.
You can't.
Yeah. Like, so I thought it was funny.
Ageist.
Very ageist.
Yeah. So then Eric is like doing his like sleuthing around the school like he does. Like,
yeah, and just showing like up the under the bleachers.
That he is.
Yeah, literally.
And he's under the bleachers and Simon and Rudy are on the bleachers having a heart-to-heart over the lunch hour about how the whole schoolyard used to be a potato field.
Right.
Back in the day.
Yeah. And this weekend, they're going to be, there's like a marching band.
A homecoming.
A homecoming. And then, you know, by Monday, he'll be back cleaning it all up again.
Yeah.
And so that sort of sets the stage for what happens towards the end.
Oh, I wrote, holding his pension over his head. Definitely not allowed to do that. So now there's going to be a hearing.
Yeah, it's like a town hall hearing. Like
with like maybe the school board, like trustee type
sure.
people?
Yeah, it's definitely like a panel of people at the front of a gymnasium with 60 people in an audience.
Yeah, who are those people?
This is what I want to know. And why is it any of their business what this man who has worked for the school for 40 years, and he's not even, so Rudy's not in the gymnasium, but Simon and Eric are, and Eric's gone there to defend him. And because he's like, you know, I talk to God, so who's to say that he's not hearing God's voice? And
the vice principal wants none of it.
None of this. And he was like, you know, he's not even here defending himself. It would just be easy enough. We're going to accept for him instead of firing him. And then Eric is like, can I just say something? Like, you know, he's worked for so long and he just wants to work a little longer. And, you know, who says you don't talk to God? Everyone here talks to God.
Like the whole crowd is like,
yeah. And then Rudy walks
in. The door opens and Rudy walks in. And
cute as a button.
Yeah.
He's like 75.
He reminds me of George Costanza's dad in Seinfeld, who's actually Ben Stiller's dad in real life.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
No, really?
No. But as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, my God, he looks just like Ben Stiller. Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, that's who he looks like. You guys can all be yelling at your mic speaker about the name of that actor who's drawing a blank on.
Yeah. Quick side story. In one of the last two episodes we did, and we talked about how Jimmy Moon's mom died.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I am so sorry. We have been told several times that it wasn't Jimmy Moon. It was Rodney.
Yes.
Rod.
And Rod's dad.
I was like, oh my God. And then we were listening back to the episode and we spend far too much time talking about how silly it was. We forgot that Jimmy Moon's mom died and then he was in the closet. We had this whole...
It was Rod.
Oh, God.
It's Jerry Stiller, by the way.
Okay.
It was going to drive me nuts.
Okay.
Okay. So
and
Rudy walks in and he's like, yeah, I don't want to retire.
God is telling me my work is not done. I still need to be here. And the principal is like, well, you know, like, this is just not good. This is crazy. This is so crazy. You're crazy.
Well, hearing God is crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. And then Rudy's like, God's telling me to ask for maybe just a bit more time. And so Eric is like, could we just have a few days? Can we talk about, like, think about it for a few days?
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we'll think about it for the weekend and then we'll meet again Monday.
Yeah.
And so... that's fine. Everyone leaves. Simon is like, wow, Dad, you really owned the crowd there. And
he's like,
so
he
inspiring.
Is he is Eric's hype man. This
yeah.
Whole time.
Oh, yeah. So then
they're home.
They're home. Eric and
it's late, though, because
it's after 11.
It's after 11 p.m. because Annie.
Well, we'll get into Annie's
was out thing. After until after 11.
Yeah.
And the phone rings again.
And I said, bedroom phone pays off because the school calls after 11 p.m. Rudy was shellacking the bleachers at 11 p.m. Because God told him to. And the principal is holding Eric responsible.
Yeah. So they get to this, like, scene at the school. Well, first of all, Eric was right. The phone rings. Eric's like, hello? Yes, I'll be there right away.
Yeah.
And hangs up the phone. And they're like, what? Simon and Annie are like, what? And he's like, there's been an accident. Rudy's involved. And they're like, oh my God, is everybody okay? And Eric's like, I think so. You talked for 15 seconds.
Not even.
What information gave you the...
maybe he like answered the phone and the principal was just like, Rudy, accident, all okay, your fault. I guess that's even too many words.
That is. But also, why would they call Eric to come down?
Yeah.
Anyways, Eric gets to the school. Sure enough, the bleachers look like a tornado has hit them.
Yeah, they're mangled.
Mangled like in a scene of Twister.
Yeah, and Rudy's pants are all muddy.
And he's like kind of disoriented and walking out. And they put him in the back of a cop car.
Yeah.
And the principal's there. And the principal's like, Rudy was up shellacking the bleachers at 11 p.m. at night, and they collapsed. I'm blaming this on you, Eric, because had we just solved this an hour and a half ago,
yeah,
he would have not been an employee anymore.
But then the principal says, dun, dun, dun. He said, thank God this wasn't 8 hours from now when the bleachers were full of students. And Simon's like, did you hear that, Dad? Thank God 8 hours from now. And Eric's like, what did you say? And the principal's like, thank God. Like, it was very.
Yeah.
And then it was sort of this revelation that, like, if Rudy hadn't been doing this at 11 p.m., the bleachers wouldn't have collapsed until it was full of students at the next 8 hours later.
So, like, is that to say that God was talking to Rudy?
Mm-hmm.
And this was Rudy's, like, last mission to save all these students.
Rudy saved the day via God. And God saved the day via Rudy.
So then in the back of the cop car, Rudy's like, you know what? Actually, my job here is done. I am going to retire. And then they let him out of the back of the cop car.
And shake his hand.
And
then Simon, Eric, and Rudy walk down the
dark street.
Yeah.
Holding hands. Basically.
Yeah.
Like, that man has dementia. As somebody who works with seniors.
Yeah. You work with a vulnerable population that has... like
lots of them have like Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah.
And like Rudy has dementia.
Yeah.
And that should be taken seriously
and flagged. But
I mean, he shouldn't be forced to retire. He should be encouraged to like have a conversation with a
medical professional
and
not
like
a religious professional.
Oh, and work through this.
Yeah. Yikes.
Like, I just, and they're just accepting that?
Yeah. So again, I went into this episode thinking we were talking about schizophrenia
right.
for some reason. And then the whole time I was like, okay, but when is Eric going to realize? Because Eric's sort of trucking along this episode thinking, questioning, maybe he is hearing God's voice. Maybe God is talking to him. Like, Eric, this is not the time to be philosophical. It's the time to be medical.
Yeah.
But then that moment never came. And then the episode ended. And I was
like it literally faded to black as they were walking down the street together.
Yeah.
Like, they just think that Rudy was the person that God was channeling to save all these students from collapsing. Also, the police officer, when Rudy was in the back of the car, the police officer was like, he solved the problem. Did you hear him? He was like, well, it rained so much this year, the bleachers just must have rusted to pieces.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. And somehow like,
is there no investigation?
No. But also, where's officer, what's his name? Michaels?
Michaels. Yeah. Sergeant Michaels.
Sergeant Michaels? Pardon me.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't seen him. There's been a few cop episodes. You know what, though? The guy that plays Sergeant Michaels, like, I want to say he goes off and does another show. Like, he was in a different show.
All right. We'll do a deep dive on it.
Yeah, we should actually do a deep dive on Sergeant Michaels.
So, moving over to Annie, who's quote-unquote losing it.
High-speed formula making.
Yeah, you know when you watch, like, a TikTok on 2x speed or, like, you fast-forward something?
Or it's 1999 and they are trying to do, like, a high-speed scene.
Yeah, like, was this high-tech for 1999?
I think so.
She just had to move quickly, but then they sped it up. Like,
I think she just moved in her normal pace, and then they just, like, it's like high-speed dubbing.
Yeah.
When it was like...
Yeah. So Annie, full speed ahead, she's making bottles.
Double bottle time,
using formula, like, that's fine, but heating them up on the stove.
Yeah.
That feels very, like, 80s. I would have thought by the 1999, there was maybe...
Even today, you're not supposed to heat up a bottle in a microwave, Carolyn. Did you not know that?
I didn't say microwave. I
thought it's where you were going.
No, but is there a bottle warmer?
There is.
Or perhaps just a better method? I don't.
Yeah.
There is
bottle warmers.
Now there is, but I don't know how new those are.
Yeah, you can't heat it up.
So she's just got two bottles on a stove.
Boiling.
And then she does the little wrist test and jets off.
Yeah.
And then she gets upstairs 1 second too late and the babies start crying.
Yeah.
I think she was trying to time it so that they don't cry.
Yeah. Like, they're only like 2 or 3 months old.
Yeah.
So the phone rings, and it's Reverend Morgan's wife, Patricia.
Yes. We haven't seen Patricia in a while. Nice to see her.
Yeah.
And she's like, how are you, Annie? And Annie says, I'm losing it. I need to do something, but I don't know what.
She's going crazy.
She's going crazy. And Patricia's like, oh, what about this? What about that? She's like, no, I just need to, like, get out of the house. And Patricia's like, you know what? Leave it with me. So she hangs up. And
at one point, Eric is like, Annie, what do you need? He offers to take her
Why
out.
Why don't you and me go out for a night on the town? And she's like, that's not what
that's
I need.
Not what I want. So then, I don't know, time passes, phone rings again. Patricia is planning a girls' night on Friday night.
Yeah.
But Annie's like, why doesn't she just tell Eric that? Is she feeling guilty?
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Thing pissed me off.
The whole there's a couple things that pissed me off.
Yeah, so she calls it the interdenominational...
The woman's... Look at this long
word. Oh, good for you.
The Woman's Interdenominational Church Council.
Right. I just called it Interdenominational Women's Group. And the rest of the episode, in every scene, Eric's trying to guess where she's going and what she's doing. But Annie doesn't want to tell him.
Yeah.
But like, Eric, just let her go out.
And she's like, oh, after all these years, we still have little mini secrets. And he's like, oh, what?
And
what?
She's like trying to figure out what dress she's going to wear. And he's like, well, where are you going? What do you guys talk about? What time do you think you'll be home?
What do you do at these meetings? Yeah. Where are they being held?
Yeah. Like, Eric, it's none of your goddamn business.
Yeah. She doesn't want to talk to you, Eric.
Get out of here.
So she like ends up like slipping a note to Mary, who's babysitting.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
And she's like, I'm just going to be 5 minutes away, but don't tell your dad that. And don't call me. Like, call your dad if you need something.
Yeah.
Because Eric was going to be home the whole time.
Yeah, I wrote this down. I said, the girls are babysitting, but you'll be around tonight, right? Sir, that's just called parenting.
That's just, you're just gonna keep your children alive.
You're parenting because the other equal parent, Annie, is gonna not be in the house.
But it turns out this hearing ended up being on the Friday night.
Yeah, so he did have to leave. But like, the whole thing is like,
initially, not that wasn't gonna be the case.
No, this is so 90s though. Like, I remember. Like, my mom would talk about, like, if she wanted to go out, she'd have to get my dad to babysit.
I don't think my mom ever said that.
No, I can't imagine your mom letting that slide. Barb, you let us know if we're wrong, but I don't think so. Let that type of verbiage run.
No, but, like, what I also think was interesting is that Annie made these plans saying that the girls were going to babysit, and then Eric still made other plans. Like, why does his plans trump everything else going on in the house?
Yeah, it's not like, oh, my wife is going to be out, so I'm home tonight.
Yeah, I can't come to your hearing, Rudy.
No, he needed the two eldest daughters to babysit. Do the women's work.
Anyways, Annie's going to Eddie's pool hall.
Eddie's pool hall. And they have got a round of Diet Cokes. And they're like, cheers, let's do a round of, like, what do you feel guilty about? And yeah. Annie's like, I'm so guilty.
Call it a mom bitch fest.
Yeah, that is literally what it was. And then the server comes around and they were like, I think we're going to do another round of Diet Cokes. We're letting loose tonight. And he's like, well, stick around because karaoke starts at 10.
Like.
And so karaoke they do.
So then it cuts back and Annie is singing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Yeah.
And like, and then at the
very showsy too. Very not just showsy. Like, it's like, that's how I do karaoke if I'm very drunk. Like I put on a full Broadway performance with choreo and everything.
Yeah.
She's just high on Diet Coke and life.
Yeah.
Being child free.
And then she gets off the stage and this like older gentleman is like, does anybody have the time? And she almost like flirtily like winks at him and like shows him her watch.
Yeah. And then she's like, ooh, it's almost 11. Like we got to call the kids and check in. We should be home by now.
And one of the moms is kind of like, this is a girl's night. Like,
yeah,
call your kids and get back here.
Yeah. So Annie calls and everything's fine. We'll get into that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing was frustrating. Like when she said, but you'll be home, right, to Eric, I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. I literally wrote, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, stone cold sober.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever sung karaoke sober, so.
I don't think I have either.
Hi.
Okay. So, Mary and Lucy are the next on my list.
Yeah, same.
Every episode lately, it feels they're scheming, the two of them.
Yeah.
Like the writers didn't have enough to give everybody their own storyline.
No.
And so they're like, Mary and Lucy are paired together. So they're talking. It's apparent that they have been asked to work at a country club for one evening to help a friend's mom, and they're going to get paid $50.
Did you catch Mary working out?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You're right. I said Mary is working out. So, and so she's just like lifting weights, looking like a lesbian.
In the mirror of their bedroom. But like, so she's got on a sports bra, which like in any TV show today would be fine if she was in a sports bra.
Yeah.
But it's 1999. So they've got her in a sports bra. And then over top of that is like a thin, like spaghetti camisole strap. Spaghetti strap tank top.
Yeah. So like that's what you work out
so
in.
Silly.
And in your bedroom anyway.
Yeah.
So they're sort of discussing like, when is the right time to ask mom and dad? How do we make sure they say yes? What if they say no? We've already said we're going to work this event. Like,
yeah, they've promised their friend Corey. Who the hell's Corey?
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
And they're going to get $50 each.
Yeah.
To help work this event.
So
that's what I wrote. Scheming. Look.
Scheming.
To ask permission to help at the country club.
Yeah. So
Mary has a way she likes to ask the parents, and Lucy has a way she likes to ask the parents, and they're not the same way.
Yeah. And so Mary's like, leave it to me. We have to show how responsible we are by doing extra things at home and then spring it on them last minute so they can't say no. And Lucy's like, well, I'd rather just ask now so we have time to either give notice if we can't or to plan if we can.
Yeah.
So they're kind of going back and forth. They offer to fold laundry, iron and fold diapers.
Well, yeah. Annie, are you using cloth diapers? This is like, okay.
Yeah. We don't know.
That's a lot.
And then they're like, oh, well, we'll babysit the kids. Will you go out? And they're like, okay. And Lucy's like, Mary, you have never changed a diaper, never fed a bottle or burped a baby, one of the twins. Like, you just volunteered us to babysit and you don't even know what you're doing.
It's going
to
be her, like going to be Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy. And so Lucy's like, you know what? I'm not doing it. You do it. And I'm going to do my own thing.
So then Mary's kind of panicking and she goes and asks Simon and Eric and Matt on tips on how to look after these twins.
Yeah.
Like, what has she been getting away with? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I just think, like, also,
like, she's the second oldest.
Yeah.
Figure it out. But Annie knows what's up. Annie's like, no, let them babysit. Let them figure this out.
They obviously want something.
They never offer to like do all of these things so much, all the time.
Yeah. So out at ladies' night,
guess who's there? Corey's mom.
Yeah. Mentions the shift that they want help with. And so at the end of the night, Annie's like, oh, and don't worry, I talked to Corey's mom. You guys are fine to work this event. Matt will drive you, da-da-da.
Yep. And Luke's, Mary, like, nails babysitting.
Yeah, I know. I really thought they were heading in a direction of, like, oh, it's chaos, and Mary really learns a lesson because she doesn't know what she's doing. Everything went fine. It was perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine.
Uneventful.
Annie says, yeah, you can go do this job at the country club.
Yeah. But then Mary's like, see, my plan worked. And Lucy's like, haven't you ever heard the quote, we plan and God laughs? And I, like, that was sort of like the end of their scene, like the end of their storyline for that. And I was just like, that's.
Like, whose quote is that?
The Bible's. I don't know.
We plan, God laughs.
Yeah. Saying, like, you tried to overplan this and the whole time, like, God was laughing at us.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then, I don't know about Ruthie.
Ruthie just needed a storyline.
This is what I think happened. Her parent or her manager or both were getting real pissed off that, like, she's not getting more diverse storylines.
Right.
And she needed more independent storylines. And so they said, we need to get an ape.
They said, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
It wasn't an ape. It was a chimpanzee.
Sorry, a chimpanzee.
Which they also kept calling a monkey.
Yeah. And I think they were just like, one of the writers was like, hey, I actually know a guy who's got a chimpanzee that could come and work for us.
It was probably. Yeah.
That's, I just like, why else? Why was this?
Like, and yeah, like, where's the budget for the chimpanzee?
Yeah.
So hey, Ruthie, it was adorable. I wrote also, so Ruthie's bouncing a ball. So like a big, like not just a little bouncy rubber ball, like a big one that makes a thunking noise.
Yeah.
Like it's like just smaller than a fist kind of. That, and she's bouncing it as Annie's in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I would have snapped.
Yeah, Annie did snap.
Yeah, she had every right to.
Yeah, so Ruthie takes the ball outside. She's bouncing it, and she bounces it really high. And she looks up when it doesn't come down. And
there's a chimpanzee in the tree.
A chimpanzee is in the tree.
Holding pants.
Wearing pants, as you do. It's not ready for indecent exposure. If Mary has to wear a tank top to work out, this chimpanzee better be in pants.
Fair.
And so she's like, hey, give me my ball back. And the chimpanzee's like just
giggling at her.
Yeah. And so,
but then she's like talking to this chimpanzee in the tree. And Eric comes out and she looks, and Eric sees her talking. But like, remember, Ruthie had that friend named Huey.
Yes. Good.
Her imaginary friend. And he's gone now. He moved out or died or I don't know.
Yeah, I think he moved away.
and so I think. Everybody, I didn't know if the monkey was real or not until the closer to the end. And it's because they're making it seem like the parents can't see the monkey.
Oh, yeah. She goes and gets Simon.
Yeah.
And she's explaining it and he's looking up and he's like, well, I don't see a monkey. And she's like, it was there. And he's like, yeah, right. And so she's kind of starting to question her own self.
Yeah.
And then Eric is coming out to the car and he's like, bye, Ruthie.
Bye, monkey.
Bye, monkey. Like waving to nothing.
Yeah.
And Ruthie's like, there is a monkey there. But then she looks again and he's gone.
No.
So she's like rubbing her eyes to see if like. And then at one point, allegedly, the chimp is in her bedroom.
And when Annie came back.
Annie's like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm just hanging out.
Because she's holding two bananas and a bag of peanuts.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm bringing this to my monkey. And she's like, oh, okay, bye, monkey. And she's just talking into the room as if it's one of the stuffed animals.
But then Ruthie's like, he's not even in here right now, Mom. Maybe you do need a night out.
Yeah.
And so then this chimpanzee climbs back through her bedroom window.
Yeah, and they sit down and have a banana together.
Yeah.
What a fun scene for like a young actor.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
Like to work on that where you get to sit across
from
an animal and eat a banana.
I know, like what was Ross's monkey on Friends doing that they needed to get this chimp and call it a monkey repeatedly?
Yeah.
Where's the monkey from Monkey Trouble? Like, all of these things came out at that time.
Yeah.
So.
But then right at the very end, the doorbell.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. Curtis.
That was the same night. It's like 1 a.m. now.
You're right. It literally has to be in the middle of the night.
Because. Eric came home to check on the babies. It was 11 o'clock when Annie called home to check on the babies.
Yeah.
And then Eric came home. She was, and Mary was like, Dad's on his way home. So everybody came home.
Yeah.
And then
Simon goes upstairs and Eric's just putting the keys away and the doorbell rings.
Simon and Eric walk through the front door and Simon says, I'm going to go check on the babies.
The boys.
The boys.
Yeah, like, not the parent, not Eric.
Eric, go upstairs and check.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's very late at night is all I'm saying.
Yeah. And it is Curtis, who is a young man with... Their new next door neighbor, Curtis, who's a young man with, not crutches, but like...
Yeah. I think those are still called crutches, where they like kind of hook onto your lower
your wrist
arm,
and then you wrist. Use your hand yeah. and maybe some leg braces. Like maybe yeah. he's got like cerebral palsy or yeah. something. And he's like, oh, hi, Eric. Yeah, I need some help because I've lost my monkey.
He's like, I lost my chimpanzee that I'm fostering.
Yeah.
Baby chimpanzee.
Yes. And he fosters a chimp to train him to help disabled people.
Yeah. He said something along the lines of like, they're testing out other animals, like other than dogs.
Yeah.
To help like exotic chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Guide chimpanzee didn't really fly.
Like a helper. I see that. That they have their like all their phalanges
yeah.
and opposable thumbs. Like I can see where they're going with this.
Yes.
But from like an animal rights perspective and ethics, I yeah. don't know. So yeah. So Eric's like, you know what? I haven't seen one, but I know who has. And he's like, yeah, the neighbor across the street said they thought they saw it climbing in one of your windows upstairs.
So they go upstairs to
Does
Ruthie's.
Does nobody have screens on their windows?
Yeah. This is another, because didn't Annie and Eric climb out onto the roof in an episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We here in Canada.
Do you know how many moths and mosquitoes and flies. Wasps and flies?
Birds?
Birds? Chimpanzees?
We have screens in our windows.
Yeah.
And it's a to-do to take them out. Like, it's not just like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody tell me if where you live, they don't have screens.
And how many bugs do you have in your home?
Yeah. Tell me about that, your pest control, because I have questions.
So they go upstairs. It's like, what, midnight?
Yeah, who knows?
Ruthie's laying in her bunk bed, and Eric just knocks on the door, and she's like, come in, and he just brings this strange man into her room.
Yeah, Eric and Curtis just walk into the room, and then
she's like bundled in her bed.
And he's like, yeah, have you seen a chimpanzee? And she just points up. To the top bunk where this chimpanzee is now wearing her pajamas.
Yeah, his name's Eisenhower.
Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, sorry. He turns out to he's more trouble than help. And then they just walk out together and that's the end of that.
It's like, so a chimpanzee has just literally been in Ruthie's care
yeah.
this whole day.
Yeah.
I mean, she fed him.
Yeah, he had good eats.
And she clothed him.
Yeah.
And she sheltered him.
Yeah.
Arguably, she took care of this monkey better than Mary did the babies. Yeah. But this whole time, it was like, this is Ruthie going crazy, seeing things.
Yeah.
You know, does she have her imaginary friend again?
Yeah, she was doubting herself. Everyone was just assuming it was fake.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was that.
That was that. Eisenhower. I'm going to look up this chimp. I should have done that before we started recording.
Yeah, find out about him. How's he doing?
Next episode, we'll do a little chimp update, if I find anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Matt's also going crazy.
Matt is just a walking red flag.
Yeah.
By today's standards. And so Matt is going to the library to study, but he doesn't tell Shauna that he's going.
But why doesn't he tell Shauna that he's going?
Because she's like, Matt's like, I'm going out. And Annie's like, oh, is Shauna? And he's like, no, I'm just going to the library. But if Shauna calls, like, don't tell her I'm at the library.
I told her I was going to study at home. Why?
Yeah, so it's like he wants some space from her. And then he goes to the library and his friend is like, hey, isn't that your girlfriend, Shauna? And he looks up and she's hugging a man.
Another guy.
And yeah. And she's like, and he's like, what is she doing at the library hugging another guy?
And Matt says, we see other people.
Yeah. Just a way to save face.
Yeah. I'm in an open relationship.
I just wrote Matt's being a little bitch.
So then he's spiraling about this hug. Like he's just spiraling. Can't.
And then Simon is like, oh, are you seeing Shauna later? Or Matt is like, hey, Simon, if Shauna calls, let her know don't tell her I'm going to the library or something.
Again.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, if you see Shauna, give her a hug for me.
And he's like, why? Why would I give her a hug? Why wouldn't you just want me to say hi to her? Like,
yeah.
And what's with the hug?
Simon's like, well, because I feel like I've known her enough now that like I'd want to give her a hug, but I don't know her enough that I'd want to kiss her. Like, what? This, like, it's like they put this in the script to, like, make him spiral, but, like, it made no sense. And so, and Matt's like, you're right. They didn't kiss. They only hugged, which means it's probably not serious, but it, and he's just spiraling.
So he's like, I'm going to go to her apartment. So yeah. He goes to her apartment, and as he's just about to knock on the door, the front door flies open, and that guy that she was hugging comes out of her apartment.
And they hug again in the hallway.
And Matt just like dives behind a plant.
Yeah.
And he pretends to be like adjusting a pitcher in the hallway. Yeah.
And then he's going to knock on her door, but he bails. He decides not to. And he's just...
So Mary goes up to ask Matt about how to take care of the twins.
Yeah.
And she's like, why are you spiraling? And so Matt kind of gives her the Coles notes of what's going on. And Mary's like, don't jump to conclusions. She's like, I hate it when guys get so possessive and just jump to conclusions. Like, I'm seeing another guy, you know, that maybe that's not what it is. Make sure that you investigate who this guy is before you confront Shauna, because that'll just upset her more.
Yeah.
Like, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
And so Matt is going to go to the library and maybe try to run into this guy.
Yeah.
Which he does.
He does. So he's at the library and he's looking around, skulking around. And then this guy is like, oh my God, Matt, is that you? It is you. And it turns out it's Tucker.
Barrelfield.
I wrote Tucker Carlson, but he's like the news guy, like the problematic news guy. And I was like, well, that can't be it. So I just deleted it and I wrote, it's Tucker. And he's like, yeah, man, like I used to know you, you know, a couple years ago.
But he hugs Matt.
Yes.
And then another guy walks by and he goes to hug him and the guy dodges his hug.
No homo.
And Tucker's like, oh, just some people aren't very huggy. And Matt was like, you always were a huggy guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's Tucker identifies as a man that hugs.
Yeah. It's great. Great.
So and now he knows
that, like, maybe he's jumped to
going on.
So he buys flowers and he goes to Shauna's and she's like, what's this about? And he's like, I just need to apologize. I've just been really like jumping to conclusions and like,
yeah,
making assumptions.
And she's like, well, what if I was seeing Tucker? What if I was seeing another guy?
Because I asked if you wanted to be exclusive and you said, we'll know when we're ready to be exclusive.
So like now you're being jealous. Is this you knowing? And
yeah,
it just goes back and forth.
I know. I wrote, he tries to manipulate her into telling her what's going on. She wanted to be exclusive, but Matt didn't want to. So she's manipulating him into being exclusive.
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, I don't like that. Who do you like more? And she's like, I like you more. And he's like, great, well, then I guess that means we're exclusive. And she's like, so you do want to be exclusive? Like, and he's like, yeah, I guess I do. I said it there. And she's like, well, I wasn't even really dating this guy.
And like, so Matt's like, so you just tricked me? And she's like, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and she's like, do you want to take it back? And he's like, no, I guess not.
So now they're exclusive, I guess.
Like, gross on both of you. That is red flagville.
It is. But like, also kind of like age appropriate. Like,
in university? I guess so.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
People in their 20s are wild.
Yeah. And he's just like flying off the handle.
So that was him. He felt like he was going crazy.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know about Shauna cheating on him or not cheating, seeing other people.
Right.
And that was it.
That was it.
I don't know.
I guess I was disappointed in this episode. It was very problematic in the way that they talked about like going crazy, losing it. I'm using air quotes with all this, like seeing things.
Yeah.
When they really just needed to help poor Rudy get some medical care.
Yeah.
By professionals.
Rudy needs to get hooked up with a social worker. They can get him into a higher level of care.
Yeah.
And Ruthie needs to tell a safe adult that she actually saw a chimpanzee in her room.
Yeah. And Eric or Matt needs to take a chill pill.
Yeah.
And
either like just be with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And Eric needs to parent his children.
So full stop.
Yeah. And Annie needs to slow down on the Diet Cokes.
Yeah. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Okay.
So next week.
Next week, it's called All Dogs Go to Heaven. If a dog dies, I'm going to be very upset. What?
I'm going to throw everything out of a window. I'm going to be so mad.
Matt's trying to look out for his younger sister, but Mary is fighting for her right to party. I hope they play Beastie
Boys. But then in the picture that I'm looking at on your phone, is that Rudy?
No.
Just another old man?
Just another old man.
who probably wearing a cardigan,
who probably has dementia that needs help.
Yeah, but Eric's just going to be like, just keep talking to God.
Eric's going to be like, you know what? Keep working.
Yeah. If that's what God's telling you to do, who am I?
Keep working with kids.
Yeah. We have a Patreon.
We do.
And
this is brand new information.
We have a bulk, like a handful of episodes on it right now. Uh-huh. And we just recorded one last week. It doesn't matter because by the time this plays, anyway, we recorded one recently and we gave sort of a more full life update. And we talked in depth about my surgery.
I know we had a whole list of what we've done in the last 10 months, but then like the first 40 minutes, which is the episode's like 45,
yeah,
is just about your surgery.
But we were like, oh yeah, and then this happened. Oh yeah, and then this happened. So if you want to check that out, it's fun. Sign up if you want. And we're going to keep making some fun episodes that aren't always Seventh Heaven themed.
Yeah, we are. So I'm going to deep dive this chimp.
Yeah. We're going to do an entire Patreon episode specifically on this chimpanzee,
yeah,
Eisenhower.
Yeah, we are.
The life and times.
The life and times of Eisenhower. Izzy.
Izzy the chimp. All right. Well, have a really great night.
Yeah. You all too. Right.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Bye.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at Seventh Heaven, a Lesbian Recap.